Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It'll be MK Dons playing in all black. We'll get us underway here at the Valley, attacking the covered end in the first half.
Coventry inside to Watson, who's got beyond Matthews and is able to finish for MK Dons. We were just talking about the warning signs of the through balls through the Charlton defence. They got away with one just now. They won't get away with that one. It's Watson who gives MK Dons the lead.
Yeah, and that's been our issue, no? Where we are okay, we're looking like we're in the game, we're going toe-to-toe, we did Saturday for 20 minutes, we have done today for 40, we haven't been able to get our noses in front, and then you get a couple of bits of clever movement, one decent pass, and we're 1-0 down.
Well, heavy touch, and Wickham forward towards Parrott, he's got beyond Famo. Parrott trying to hold up the ball, lays it off for Wickham with the shot. It's a good save. McGilvery comes down and there's the second for MK Dons. Kessler Hayden was the quickest to react. The possession pays off for MK Dons. And they get the second after 58 minutes.
Yep, and it's a very, very good save actually. Low down to his left from McGilvery. And like you say, quickest to react was the little wing back, Kessler Hayden. And that's what I mean about remaining diligent behind the ball. You know, they suck you in, and as soon as somebody makes an error, they pop it around that player and then they expose.
Comes with a clearance, and as you say, run it, that does it for the game. Referee calls a halt.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you guys are well. On this week's show, then we will be looking back at that 2-0 defeat against Milton Keynes during the week. And of course, looking ahead to Saturday's trip up to Hillsborough to take on Sheffield Wednesday. Joining me to do that, first up, Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate. Good evening, you sexy beasts.
Oh, blimey. Someone's in way too good of a mood. It's just because we're getting closer and closer to the end of the season, isn't it?
Another 2 days has passed, mate. Still counting. And it's Christmas soon, so...
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's only 10 months away and 1 day. Can't wait. And also joining us, who I'm sure is already in the Christmas mood, Mr. Tom Walling. How you doing, Tom? Got your baubles out?
Always. Even for Nath, that was left field.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Well, not the spirit I thought we'd be starting the show in, but it's put me in a good mood already. So, well, let's get back down to earth on this week's show. We will be discussing that 2-0 defeat. We just heard the goals there. We're going to hear from the manager, of course, Johnny Jackson. Spoke to him after the game. We've also got he was asked about the back three again. It's something that's we've been talking about. We've got the injury update. You know, we've seem to be suffering with a bit of an injury crisis for the trip to Hillsborough. Before we look ahead to that game, of course, we'll hear from James from the Wednesday Till I Die pod. He gives us the view in terms of from a Sheffield Wednesday point of view. And of course, Jacko will look ahead to the game himself. Got loads of tweets and emails as well to talk about before that game. So, I mean, we just heard the goals there, Nathan. I don't know. There was an area, like, again, we started all right, actually. I thought we started better than we did on Saturday, and we started that game okay. But as soon as we went a goal behind, it was just felt like an air of inevitability about it. You know, Burstow missed that chance at the far post to make it 1-1, and then Milton Keynes got a second, and then the game just sort of played out, really, and a fourth defeat in a row, and we are, I don't know, in a bit of a rut now in terms of results.
Yeah, I agree. I thought we started quite positively in comparison. And I mean, I must admit, the first half, I thought MK didn't really offer anything. I thought they were slow, didn't really do much. There was a couple of balls they got in behind. It happened the first time, then it happened the second time, I think. And then you're looking at it going, we keep doing this. We know what's going to happen. And lo and behold, we have to admit it was a great ball in. But I think it was Coventry. I think he played it on the outside of his foot. But yeah, and we our heads go down because we all know in the predicament that we're in at the moment, we're barely, you know, we're struggling to score one goal, let alone trying to get two against an informed Dons team. And yeah, it was disappointing. And after the break, you knew they couldn't have got any worse. They took their chance. They've got some good players. They're fluid. And I must say, in my opinion, I think the second half they gave us a bit of a schooling, really. And we know they're a good side; they're up there for a reason. But they've had many years of building an ethos and getting to where they are. So, in a bit of a rut, we've got the games don't get any easier in February. Looking at the fixtures, February was always a tough month. Originally I thought we'd be looking at going, well, you know, when we'll get our games won in February, we, you know, make the playoffs. But fortunately, we're looking the other way at the moment. So we need to pick up some, even if it's a 0-0 or a 1-0 with, you know, shove Pierce up top. But, you know, you never know what happens. But we need something from somewhere just to ignite a bit of flame, really, into the season, because we did think it would go into a bit of a lull, thinking that we were safe, and then we've gone on this dreadful run and it's back alive again with a relegation scrap. It could be if we keep going the way that we're going.
Yeah, you're seeing it that way, in a relegation scrap with 9 points above the drop zone, and we were lucky that Morecambe lost again on midweek. Tom, are you feeling that there's still a danger we're getting sucked into that again?
I mean, points-wise, we're not a million miles away. I personally don't think we are. I know we're on this little four-game sort of run, or we've lost, I think, four of our last five. But I think there are enough signs there that we'll be okay. We've gone on a nice little run before that, so it's been very up and down. But I think overall, since Johnny's come in, the points per game is okay. And when you look at it bigger than just these last four games, which, as Nath just said there, are some of the toughest games you're going to get in this league, I think it could be worse. I think my concern, I wasn't there on Saturday against Oxford, but my concern with the last two games is the fact that they are at home and that we've crumbled so easily, because the home record is probably what's going to kind of save us or keep us up, which is depressing enough to say. So when we look ahead to this Saturday coming, I think that's going to be a difficult one. And if we get anything from that, obviously I'll be pleased. But, you know, I think that the home games between now and the end of the season, we need to make sure that we're winning those to ensure that we stay in this league. I'm not necessarily too worried about relegation, but I'm also, I don't know what's the word, humble enough to accept that we're not out of it yet. You know, if we do continue to lose games, it doesn't take much to be pulled back into it. But I just think probably we've got enough in the squad with, I know strikers again aren't going to be back necessarily for Saturday, but I think by the time they are back in the next few weeks, you would expect performances to improve again. And I think we'll get enough wins to survive. Whether that's good enough is another question, but I'm not too worried about relegation. So hopefully that's not being naive.
I mean, the manner of the first goal, Nathan, I do ask Jackson about it, or I did ask him. I'm not sure, I can't remember if it makes a clip I've put in for this podcast, but it's so similar to the goal the goals we conceded. You know, getting played sort of down the side, or a ball slips or slid in between our defence on a wide, slightly wider sort of angle. You know, that's two or three times it's happened against Oxford twice, and it's happened now in midweek. I mean, that's something that Jackson's expressed his frustration because they've been working on that. But I mean, is that something that the formation leaves us open to? That's certainly a question that people are asking.
Yeah, potentially. I think the first goal, it was good movement, it was good vision. And it didn't help that we switch off. And even for the second goal, you know, the difference is Mac makes a save. Jury's out on whether, you know, he pushes it wider. But the fact of the matter is that both of their wing-backs have scored. And both of our wing-backs didn't get forward. So maybe it does play a part. But, I mean, at the end of the day, is when you're conceding goals, you've just got to do the basics right. And if you switch off against a good team, which we did for that first goal, you're going to get punished. And I think that's what the difference between us and MK Dons is. Obviously, they're not making silly mistakes. They've got a lot more strikers than we have at the moment because we've barely got one. But yeah, it can may have you know, had an effect on the goal, the formation. But we could sit here till the cows come home and talk about whether it's 4-4-2, or you could play 4-4-2 and still get cut open with that ball. You know, it's still tracking your runner and he run off Matthew's shoulder and it was too easy for him. But like I said earlier, they got him behind so many times. I thought Akin was flat-footed. I think for most of the game, it just seems to have dipped a little bit. He seems angry. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, we're just making silly mistakes at the moment and we're getting punished for them. And that's the difference between why that is the reason why we are where we are.
Yeah, I mean, one big potential turning point was that miss from Mason Burstow. Sort of corner half cleared, got back out wide to Albie Morgan, and he's drilled the crossing. It has bounced just in front of Mason, but I think even with that sort of mitigation, he still would have expected the net to bulge for that one, Tom.
Yeah, I think he'll obviously be disappointed with that. And over the last few games, obviously, there's been a lot of pressure on his shoulders because he's been the only striker available for us. I know Lecco played up top with him. He's not really a striker and has done very little in the recent games that I've seen. So I feel a bit sorry for Mason. I know that's probably not how a lot of people feel. He's just got a big move to Chelsea. He's probably set for life with a new contract and on to better things. And I know that people perhaps won't feel the same, but I don't think the transfer makes any difference in my mind. At the moment, he's a Charlton player, albeit on loan. And I think obviously he wants to do the best for us. You could see how frustrated he was at a couple of chances he missed. Actually thought his gameplay on Tuesday night was pretty good. He was working hard, he was chasing balls down, he was certainly putting in more of a shift than some of the other players. So yeah, unfortunately, if he doesn't score goals, he's going to come in for criticism, and as you say, probably should have done better with a couple of those chances, but you know, wasn't to be. Certainly the defeat wasn't solely at his door. I didn't actually think on the whole we played that badly in the first half. Like Nave said earlier, I thought second half they dominated large parts. But first half, I thought we were okay. Just as per, couldn't take our chances. And I thought we were going to go in at 0-0 and try and kick on second half. But obviously conceded that goal late on. But yeah, bit gutted for Mace really. And I just hope those other strikers can get fit and take some of the heat off him. Because it was only a few weeks ago we were talking about, you know, it not being fair to be playing him week in, week out. And unfortunately, we haven't had any choice recently. So hopefully he can come out of the firing line soon and just have a bit of a break, because it's probably what he needs.
I mean, there is a real sort of difficult aura around the place now, Nath, because it's four defeats in a row. You know, it's the season's hopefully petered out. You know, I'm saying we're definitely not getting into the playoffs. Outside chance we get sucked back into that relegation battle. But, you know, overall, I think the majority of us are just waiting for the season to end. And the frustration is building as well, because this isn't what we were expecting this year. It's a real tough last few weeks that we're going to go through here, where there's so much frustration around the place that we do need to lay a marker down between now and the end of the season in some form. You know, what's going on around the club in terms of, you know, how we're going to rebuild and you know, this frustration about the strange situation with the tickets and that sort of stuff. There does need to be like a positive end to this season, just so we can get back onto a footing where we can look ahead now to next year with something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a strange season all round. I think most people will be looking forward to it to end. You know, it started badly. It sort of picked up a little bit when Dzeko first come in. We had that little bit of hope, I did anyway, and then it's sort of gone down again. Then we came back up again, and then we're down again, and now we're looking over our shoulder a little bit. And it's just one of those seasons where you just go, yeah, I just want it to be over and let's have a reset and then go again in the summer. But it just seems like we've been doing that for the last few seasons, really, since we got relegated from the Championship. You know, just try, you know, go again. And but there's always something, you know, it's never really easy. I'm not saying it's easy for other clubs or other clubs don't have any issues, but yeah, it's just one of those seasons that you just want to get it over and done with. There's going to be quite a few changes, I would imagine, because you've got people out of contract and you've got another new manager who's going to want to put his ethos in Jacko and get the players that he wants. So, yeah, it's just turning a bit of a lull, and I just not, you know, I'm still going to obviously go in and cheer on the boys and obviously still go and meet people at football and that, but yeah, it's not enjoyable at the moment. And then there's a bit of, like you said about the atmosphere, sometimes it's a bit toxic. I don't really get too involved in it, you know, on social media. It's just sad, really, because, you know, when things are bouncing, and I always harp back onto the power season when I met you there, and so I met a load of people for Charlton. It was brilliant. But that comes with the territory. You know, you lose games when you're a bad run of form, people ain't going to be happy 100%. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, you know. I think we just need to get some strikers back, because I think that's what the frustrating is, because we're going into games knowing, are we going to score? Not, you know, oh, we could play well. It's okay. We can play okay, but are we going to put the ball in the back of the net? And I think that's just loads of different pressures at the moment. It's just stirring the pot. But we'll get there. And we'll just get this season out of the way, mate, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the attendance on Tuesday night, Tom, less than 9,000 people inside the ground. And obviously, the club have said they're going to change the way they announce the attendances over the last couple of games now. So they're going back to announcing actual people through the door rather than, the tickets sold plus the tickets given away, which had led to some really bizarre attendance and numbers being announced. I mean, that is the way it's always been done. But it was quite stark when we were announcing some of these big attendances when there weren't that many people in the ground, especially when you think about the one on Saturday, which was announced as 14,000, which is, again, was the amount of people who turned up. But, you know, there were so many tickets given away that it meant people couldn't buy them. Obviously, that's a part of the messaging they've decided to change. I think it's not just the message about the actual attendance they give out that's part of the problem. The main problem for me is not the number. It's the fact that people couldn't buy a ticket. So I think they've addressed one half of the issue, but they still need to, obviously, they'll be wary to make sure that they don't give out so many tickets that people can't actually buy them. But I mean, I think it served as a bit of a shock to some people when they saw that real attendance announced. And like I say, it would have been masked by the fact that I'm certain we've had Tuesday night attendances like that in recent years, just haven't announced it the way we have this time. So it's probably not a one-off, but it's quite an eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people, just to realise, I mean, how far away we are now as a club from where we want to be and how much work there is still to do.
I think that last point is probably the key one for me, just as you say, how far away we are from where we want to be. And yeah, it's I think, as you said a little bit earlier, it feels very fractured across the whole club at the moment. Unfortunately, you've got, you know, infighting between fans, you've got the ticket issues, some of which I totally understand what people are saying. You know, I'm a season ticket holder, so's Nafe. You know, we've paid whatever a cost per game is, and ours are some of the cheapest season tickets. You've got people who've probably turned up to as many games and paid less. So that's, I totally get that frustration. I think turning up on Tuesday night and seeing the sparse crowd, as you say, it didn't feel particularly any less to me there than it has been at other Tuesday nights, but for people who can't go to games, who live abroad or whatever, and just see the figure, it probably does come as a bit of a shock. And I think the fact that we do have that number, I was used to seeing that number under Roland when we were going nowhere, but only two seasons ago, what, two and a half seasons ago, we were in the Championship, you know, pre-COVID, started that season quite well. You know, everybody was together, and to go from that to where we are now, and I know it's been up and down since then, both in football and obviously outside of football in the wider world, it's very sad to see, because at the moment, with all that fracturing and everything, it feels like we're a million miles away from putting on a promotion push next year as well. I feel like if we were playing okay, but playoffs were out of sight, and we were all behind Jacko, and we were all, you know, Sangard had announced it, they were starting to talk to players, all of that kind of stuff, you'd feel a sense of unity, but I just don't feel that at the moment. I feel like there's people who want him gone, there's people who want him to stay, there's people who are looking over their shoulder still for this season. There's people who've given up. Nothing's really happening with player contracts as far as I can see. It's just all just a bit sad, really. And I think it's, as I said on Tuesday night when I left the ground, for me, it's just about getting this season done, getting our business done early and trying to kick on. But I feel like we've said that for so many years, and I didn't think it was going to be like that this year.
And there's still loads of questions as well, of course, about the setup of the club and the people that have been brought in to do the jobs. You know, there was a picture of Martin Sandgaard in sat next to Steve Gallen. You know, he's certainly unproven. I think that would be the kind way to put it. I think it's fair to say that, again, if Roland had put his son in charge of transfers or in charge of a department in the club with what would appear to be not very much relevant experience, that would certainly be an eye-opening situation. So the jury, I mean, to put it lightly, the jury is still very much out on how the club's going to be run in terms of that sort of stuff going forward. There's still plenty of things to be proven as well. So there's a lot of difficult things at the moment, and it's hard to really get up for next season until we start to see what's going to happen, and you know, with the caveats in place like I've just mentioned. Anyway, right, let's hear what Johnny Jackson made of the defeat against Milton Keynes. During the week, he came in to speak to us in the press conference after, and I asked JK what he made of the performance.
I think a game decided in both boxes, really. Again, thought we started really well, really brightly, matched the team, known for their possession, had a lot of the ball, moved it well from box to box, I thought. Created some openings in that period there, and obviously wasn't clinical, and then get undone in a little moment just before half time, which is obviously disappointing, going one down in a game where I felt like we was sort of more than a match for them and well in it. So yeah, disappointing, and obviously conceding in the second half makes it difficult to chase the game now, especially you know when you're looking to make changes to try and impact it, and you know you're obviously in the top end of the pitch, we are really sort of limited in what we can do there.
I was going to ask, do you think it could have been a different story if you had some of your more senior strikers available?
I think the whole season would be a different story, Lou, if I had my senior strikers available. Haven't lost the match when Washington and Stockley have played together. Haven't got the impact of Anike from the bench, Blackett, Taylor. Brought Fraser in, obviously, to help in that respect. And he's been out with COVID. And now, obviously, Burstow's come off with a hamstring. So seems like a bit of a cursed position, and yeah, I think it's changed the whole complexion of the season, to be honest, because after every defeat I've looked back and you know, assessed, and you know, you look and you can't help but think, well, you know, if Stockley and Washington and certain other players had been available, would the outcome be different? And I think the answer is yes most of the time. However, it is what it is, you know. We have to, the people who come in have to try and claim that spot and do the job. And obviously it's been really difficult to get results without them.
What is the early news on Mason? You mentioned the hamstring.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he just said he felt his hamstring. So, you know, obviously he's being assessed now. You're not going to know for a day or two until, I suppose, he's had a scan and find out what the result is then. But I'd be amazed if he's available for Saturday.
You obviously can't get away from the fact it's four defeats in a row now as well, and it feels like a bit of a rot is sort of setting around the place as well. How difficult is it to lift them back up after that?
Yeah, the rot hasn't set in around the place. I just said to them, if they, you know, if I felt like they wasn't trying and giving their all, then you'd have a serious problem on your hands. But they're out on their feet there, and they're giving it. They're giving it everything, despite what the results and despite what, you know, people might think. It's a group of lads really trying, and I can't fault them for that. But obviously, we need more. But there's a spirit there, and I just said to them there, that's how you get through these periods. You know, I've had them in my career, and you just bite down, you work hard, and the next time you get into training, or next, you do everything you possibly can, and they're all obviously playing for a shirt now because I've made changes, and everyone, bar Niall John so far, has had an opportunity to play. And, you know, now obviously I've got to try and pick an 11 for Sheffield Wednesday. So it's about what they do between now and then to show me they should be playing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Kirk again. To his left is Gunter. Gunter with the cross. It's a search across. Giacini! That's a lovely header for Talan Giacini. The searching cross from Chris Gunter. Giacini beats McFadden to the ball against Cheltenham lead.
Yeah, and we talk about this week in, week out, about players anticipating coming in from the far side, getting inside the fullback, spotting that cross early, making the run, anticipate, get across your man and meet it well. I mean, it's a very brave header from Giacini.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. Just before the break, we heard from Johnny Jackson. I just want to mark your card, actually. On Sunday, the women's team are in the FA Cup in the fifth round of the competition. They're playing the WSL team Everton, a repeat of the final from a few years ago, of course. Charlton versus Everton. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff at the Oakwood in Crayford this Sunday. Tickets are just £5 as well, so why not get down there and support Karen Hills and her side. They have been in excellent form recently, beat Plymouth 6-0 in the previous round in this competition as well. I think they just went about 9, 10 hours without conceding a goal until, I think it was Bristol City broke that duck for us recently. But yeah, they're on banging form and a big chance to test their wits against a big club in the women's game. So make sure you get down to the Oakwood on Sunday. I mean, Jacko, I asked him if he thought it would have been a different story on Tuesday, Nath, if we had the strikers fit. And he said it'd be a different season if we had the strikers fit. You know, if you think about since the turn of the year, you know, how often have we been without Jaden Stockley since December? Connor Washington in and out since December, pretty much. Obviously, you know, Chuck Sinike, who sounds like it's going to be longer term, is what Jacko said. I mean, if we had those players, would we be in the top six now? Would we be nearer the top six at least?
Yeah, I think we'd probably be higher than where we are, for sure. I think, obviously, strikers win your games and defenders win your titles. So, but, I mean, we could score. There was times that last year where we were scoring loads of goals, but then conceding them as well. So, and there's been many times this year we've just keep giving silly goals away, naive free kicks in dangerous positions when we know we're not a big team and we haven't got the likes of Innes and Stockley in the team. Or... So I think, yeah, no matter how bad we were the last couple of games, and we were bad, any team, if you take their four strikers out of the equation, they're not really going to do much. And that goes across any league, all the way down to Sunday League. You take four of your people who score your goals, albeit, you know, a bit sporadic and they're not all up there, but you take them all out of your team, you're going to struggle. And that's what we have been doing. But that's when you're going to try and say, well, let's try and keep it tight, let's keep no mistakes, and at least try and nick a 0-0 or nick a 1-0 off a set piece. But we're not doing that. We're just going 1-0 down. It looks as though we crumble, and it looks as though we have no belief that we're going to score. And when you've got that recipe, it doesn't really come out as a... I don't know, it doesn't come out as your favourite dish, you know what I mean? It'll come out like a salmon on croûte or something, you know what I mean? Something really rubbish, but... Yeah, it's not a good recipe, and that's where we are at the moment, and that's what we've got to deal with. We can't change it. We've just got to get on with it, and hopefully we can just try and get that little bit of confidence, that little bit of spark, ignite some flames in there, and try and put a good end to the season.
I'm going to suggest that's the first time a Sam Onkrut has ever been mentioned on Charlton Live. But yeah, if anyone,
I don't even know where that come from, mate. But I just remember trying it when I was younger. It was
salmon
in
pastry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that really dry stuff. Yeah, oh, it's rancid. Like that, and what's the other one? Crab paste, that's another thing I can't have. Oh, it's absolute rubbish, but right, anyway.
Well, maybe we'll start a side pod, Cookery Hour, with Nathan Muller. I'm sure loads of people will be interested in that. Let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that have come in. Plenty of, as you can imagine, have emailed us. Tony said, "Evening, chaps. I'll try and find some positivity, although I'm not promising anything. The Milton Keynes game was strange. First half, we were okay. They didn't have anything until the goal. Then we went back to the Adkins fragile mentality. I think we have a few that are simply not good enough. We really need some leaders on the pitch. I don't believe that Gilby is a captain. Both goals were caused by fullback switching off. They exploited this perfectly. Maka can't keep making save after save. Yes, I do think he's been at fault sometimes this season, but could there be many other keepers in this league who could do better? 87 saves from 126 shots faced. We need to come out as a club and say that Jacko is the man to start next season and let him build. We probably need 10 good players to have a top three squad for next season. We have been at worst. Remember Loic Nigo and Churam in goal. Also, let's not forget Polish Pete. That's from Tony and Elton. Yeah, cheers, Tony. And we've got Adam Biggs from the Upbeats evening. Adam says he really wants to see Charlton getting 3 points in the next game for Johnny Jackson to make him happy as well as the fans. He's still clinging on to the hope that we might make the playoffs there, Adam. I wish I had the enthusiasm you did, but we never know. Right, Al said, "I said it last week. I'll say it again. We're in a relegation battle. We need to wake up and realise it. I can't see where our next point is coming from, let alone three. We're not too big to go down. Look at Portsmouth. They were down in League Two for 4 years." That's from Al. Cheers, Al. Michael says, "This run feels exactly the same like the run that we had in the Championship where everyone was injured and we got relegated as a result of it. 9 points gap to relegation will close up unless we can get some cover up front and turn this form around. Academy players and playing position players out of position wingers, apologies, are not going to work. So throw in some suggestions out there. Can we terminate Davison's loan and bring him back?" You can't do that outside of a window, unfortunately, Michael. It says, "Further afield, Robson Kanu is a free agent at the moment. Could we get him in for 3 months? It's starting to feel a bit desperate now. There seems to be no solution other than saying we need to wait for injured players to come back, and we can't put a timeline on when that will be. Every week that goes by without Connor, Chucks or Jaden, we're sliding towards a relegation scrap that needs 4 teams to be worse than us. Surely I'm not the only one feeling that we're asleep at the wheel here and slipping into a relegation scrap again." I mean, Robson Kanu mentioned there, Tom, I mean, one of your Welsh brethren. Would you be interested? I mean, the problem with free agents is, yeah, he'll come in, and knowing us, he'd only have one leg or something, but he certainly won't be anywhere near ready to play. So would he be the short-term solution that we think he is? If he is, would someone else not have snapped him up by now?
I mean, I'd love to see it, but I think realistically, it's difficult, isn't it? I think the free agent market is perhaps a good idea. The fact that we haven't either suggests we're not thinking creatively, or we're hoping that these strikers are going to be back quick enough. I think Jacko probably would have expected someone like Lecco to have made more of an impact up there than he has. He was almost anonymous on Tuesday night. He was really disappointing. And other than that, obviously we do still have Mason Burstow. And again, I know I said earlier, I don't want us to be picking him all the time. But when you've got a striker there, then maybe Jacko's thinking, well, he's who I'm going to be with. I think you've got two options. Well, there's three. There's either we carry on as we are, which is what he has been doing the past few games, or you try and change the formation. So you just play the one up top. So you maybe go 4-3-3 with wingers, or 4-5-1 if you can. Or you do something like that and you do go creative and you do look at somebody in the free agent market to come in on a short term deal. I think someone at his age probably isn't looking for a longer term contract. But if you could get someone who's a bit hungrier, who maybe wants them to get a year, like Corey Blackett-Taylor, then maybe there is an option there. I personally can't see it happening. The only reason I really say that is because it's not something we've done in the past. But I don't think it's a ridiculous shout. Robson Kanu himself, I don't know whether he's the right person, but to go into that free agent market is quite a nice idea. I'm just not sure if we'll do it.
Interesting stuff. Right, I mean, you mentioned about the change in formation or the lack of change in formation. And again, that's something that you know, people message us after every game, why don't you ask Jackson? And we have asked him previously, and he was asked again on Tuesday. So it's not like he doesn't get asked these questions. I mean, I can play you the answer now, actually. This is what Johnny said when he was asked if he had considered changing the back three on Tuesday.
Well, because I can rip it all up and start again, or I can, you know, we've had success doing that. Not of late, we haven't. But obviously, I changed personnel. For me, that was enough. I don't think it was systems or things that cost us today. I think it was individual lapses in concentration. System for system, I thought there weren't a lot in the game.
There we go. I mean, exactly the same answer he gave me a few weeks ago, which I knew he would. I mean, you mentioned it there, Nathan, earlier on. You know, Milton Keynes have been working on a style and a way to play, and they played three at the back, of course, for a number of years now. Russell Martin was in there. He's taken his style to Swansea. Liam Manning's come in and looked to keep that identity around the place. And no one was complaining about Milton Keynes' performance on Tuesday night, other than it was a bit boring. But, you know, that's position football for you. Is it because they never tore it up when it wasn't working the first time? Is that what we're going for here? But, I mean, on the other hand, there has to be a point where Jacko go, look, we need to pick up some results, and maybe I'll just go a bit back to basics for now. It's a tough one for Jackson to try and balance. But like I say, I mean, Milton Keynes have been playing to a certain style for a number of years, and it's working for them. So why shouldn't we try and build a certain style and identity about the team, which we absolutely lacked at the start of the season?
Yeah, 100%. I think I'm trying to remember who I spoke to on Tuesday after the game. I think it was Carl. And I was just saying, what we've got to try and remember is exactly that. MK have had years of building this. They've had that ethos of playing possession-based football. We had Boya, Boya was here, and he had the way of playing mainly with a narrower system, and we had hardly any wingers. Then we got Nidlin, and now he's built a team which had predominantly wingers in, looking to play with wingers. And now we've gone to Jacko, who's looking to play maybe a back three. So over a space of, a year, we've got three different managers with three different ways of playing, with more or less, with a couple of bits here and there, the same squad. I know there was obviously Boya had Cullen and that, but after that, it's just a mishmash of loads of different formations and stuff. So I think, I'm a firm believer that you should believe, if you believe in a way of playing, if you believe in a certain style, that you should stick to it 100%. I don't think you should just rip it all up and think of a new one. I just think where needs must, if you've not got the players to play in that formation due to injuries or suspensions, which we're going through, I just think maybe just change it up just to get through until the summer when he can have a window and build his squad properly. Because playing Mason and Lecco is never going to work. They're too far apart. Lecco doesn't work hard enough. They both need a big man next to them, which we don't have. So we're too one-dimensional at the moment. It's just a clip over the top, and it's so easy to read.
Yeah, a couple more emails as well. Tom said, evening boys, a bit of reality check is needed. We're missing Stockley, Washington, Chucks and Fraser. No team can lose that amount of players and cope when playing the top teams. I've never known a team suffer with injuries like us. Do you think the medical team needs looking at, although it doesn't help when you buy injury-prone players? You do have to wonder, though, as Chucks was never injured at Birmingham. He rarely played, though. He tended to come off the bench, of course. Playing Mason up top on his own is an impossible task. He wouldn't be getting such negative comments if he hadn't signed for Chelsea. The boy runs his socks off, and for me, looks like he gives everything, so people need to lay off him, as everyone would have jumped ship in his position. As for Lico, don't get me started. I'll drive him back up north myself for free. Season's over. Let's focus on next year and hope we stay up. That's from Tom Lukaku. I remain surprised by some of the comments. You know, a lot of people still supporting Mason. He missed a big chance on Tuesday, which you'll be very disappointed about, but I haven't seen a change in mentality since he's gone to Chelsea. He's still, you know, he'll struggle to impact games, as I've said, ever since he first came into the team, because he's an 18-year-old, but I still think it's not like he's not running his what-sits off, you know, and I think a lot of people have been a bit harsh about him personally. I mean, some of the responses to a tweet I sent about him this afternoon, I can't believe what I'm reading sometimes, but there we go. One more email, and this is from David. The amount of injuries we have at the moment and in the past, we need to question our training methods. I remember the start of the season, we had loads of unfit players, which were being used as an excuse as to why we're playing so badly. So much for this smart sports science stuff from our fitness and conditioning coaches, because it's not working. Well, we certainly need an update, don't we, on the fitness situation. Terry did ask Jacko about that during press day today, and we'll base it on the question on the fact that we did see some pictures on the club account today of Jake Forsikowski and Jaden Stockley both back out on the grass.
Yeah, they was out there on the grass today. Obviously, they haven't. That was their first involvement. So we have to obviously manage their reintegration with the group and the squad and things like that. So we'll look at today. We'll look at tomorrow, and we'll decide from that whether they have any involvement. Whether that's, you know, from the bench, stuff like that. I wouldn't imagine. Well, neither would be available to come straight in and start, having missed the chunk of football that they have and having had so little training. And obviously we need to see how they react from training as well, because that's their first sort of stimulus in quite a while. So, next couple of days will be key on deciding how we go about it.
Obviously that means there's a little ray of sunshine coming through from somewhere, which is important. But Mason Burstow added to our striker injury crisis Tuesday night. Do we know the severity of Mason's injury?
Well, Mason, we think it was just a really bad bout of cramp that he had. Fatigue-related young lad who's obviously, been thrust into senior football, playing a lot of minutes, probably more than anyone expected. So that can catch up with you. That's been, you know, he has had cramp issues in games, and obviously that's another thing that we need to look at, because he's cramped up in the game. He thought he'd done his hamstring, so that can be, you know, with young lads that might not know, that haven't done hammies before, might not know how their body's going to react to that as well. So another one, he might be available, Mason, but whether, you know, it'd be how we use him, and mindful of the fact that, you know, he had to come off the pitch on Tuesday night.
There we go. So closer to having Jake and Jaden back. Doesn't sound like they'll be close enough for Saturday by any stretch. I mean, Jacko did say similar in midweek that Jaden's sort of getting closer, but, you know, he's only really just started training, so he will still be without. He's 2 months since he last played, isn't he? So he'll need that fitness back. But, I mean, it is a boost that Mason will be fit enough to play, Tom, because, you know, this was part of it. I put it on Twitter and said, well, some good news. And I got loads of people saying, are you sure that's good news? I was like, well, would you rather have no strikers than one striker? Surely that's good news. And someone who's actually scored a couple of goals this season, even if he is, and I keep reiterating, struggling to impact games a little bit at times, especially now he hasn't got someone to play alongside him.
You say that, but Man City play with no strikers, don't they? And they seem to do fine. So maybe that's the problem. But no, obviously it's good news. And I guess it's almost bad news for Mason, because he's going to play again and he's going to be up there, for want of a better word, on his own again. And that's not really fair on him. But I totally agree with you. I don't think his attitude's changed. I think he's going to want to play. I'm sure he's desperate to score another goal. It just doesn't happen for him in the last couple of games, that's all. And the other positive signs around those other players is obviously encouraging. As you say, not going to be ready for Saturday, but looking further ahead, like I spoke about earlier with the concern of potential relegation or getting sort of sucked back into that, at least if they can come back towards the end of the season, there's a chance for them to have an impact in some way. But yeah, I think Mason being fit is really important. As I say, it's just about what we do for these other games. As both Nathan and I said a few minutes ago, does Jacko kind of not tear it up, but just go back to basics for the next few games, because he hasn't got the personnel that he needs, and maybe he will do that. I think if we start with Mason and Lecco up top again, I imagine that the replies to Charlton Twitter aren't going to be too nice, not that they are very often anyway. So yeah, I think, yeah, I hope he starts, and I hope he gets a goal to silence some of that criticism. But I also hope if we get a chance, we can just give him a bit of a break, because he's just been playing so many games of late.
Yeah, and it's so often you'd see young, I mean, because you're saying that the injury that he picked up on Tuesday, we first feared it was a hamstring injury, was cramp, and, like, you know, I understand a lot of people don't see it this way. As an 18-year-old, he should be fine, but I've never understood medically why this is, but often when you see younger players, they pick up cramp and that sort of thing a lot easier than slightly more experienced ones. I don't know if it's because 18s football isn't quite as vigorous as coming up into the men's team or 23s or whatever, but that is something that happens often. That's why you do have to protect your younger players slightly from playing week in, week out. That's why that happens, you know, and that's the situation currently with Mason Burstow. Right, I mean, that was the team news, or at least some of it, ahead of the game with Sheffield Wednesday up at Hillsborough on Saturday. Let's hear a little bit about the opposition. Now, I spoke to James from the Wednesday Till I Die podcast during the week and asked him how he has assessed the start to the season that sees Sheffield Wednesday sitting just outside the playoffs.
It's been a strange one, to be fair. I mean, we started off pretty well. Obviously, we got the draw in the opening game of the season with yourself, which then went into three or four wins. We'd not conceded a goal. It seemed pretty easy at the start of the season. We were sat at the top of the league at one point. Then things went a little bit south, to be fair. There were calls for Darren Moore to get sacked from a certain section of the fans. The football wasn't great to watch. I mean, I still say that we're well over halfway into the season, and you probably count on one hand the actual good games of football that we've actually played. Injuries have cost us dearly. Like we've got, I think, 10 players out injured currently at the moment, which is obviously not ideal. I know, I think you're in the same boat with in terms of injuries, but we've. It's just miraculous that we're still in with a shout with the playoffs, and as we go into Saturday's game, I think we're about level on points with the likes of Sunderland, who were in sixth. So I just can't believe that with the problems that we've had, problems scoring goals, that we're still in with a shout.
Yeah, I mean, what were the expectations when you came into the season? Obviously, it had been a while since you'd last been in League One. You came down in difficult circumstances, of course. I mean, a lot of Charlton fans, obviously with your points deduction, a lot of Charlton fans felt like it should have happened the season before because that would have kept us up. But, what were you thinking coming into this year? I mean, even with the financial issues, you're still a massive fish in this pond.
Yeah, I mean, when we got relegated, when we drew with Derby last season, there was a lot of players that were going to be leaving, the likes of Jordan Rhodes, Tom Lees, Kieran Westwood, Adam Reach, etc. They were all leaving because they'd not signed new deals and they're on big wages. At that point, you looked at the squad that we got, you looked at the fact that we were in a transfer embargo, so we couldn't pay for any players. There were the issues around paying the players as well that we've had in recent times. I generally feared for this season. Obviously, Darren Moore was already there. And then in the pre-season, we'd signed 13, 14 players, good quality players like Lee Gregory, Dennis Adeniran, Jack Hunt's re-signed as well. And when you look at the players that we've brought in, everyone was thinking, on paper, this squad is far better than any other League One side. So going into the season, we expected, I'm not doing the League One any disservice, but we expected to go straight back up automatic. Now, I think expectations have changed somewhat since the season started. Obviously, Rotherham and Wigan are pretty much running away with it. So, getting playoffs now would be a decent finish.
And you mentioned about Darren Moore. Obviously, he's been there since last season. I mean, how was he viewed by the Sheffield Wednesday fans? Did a reasonable job, I guess, with West Brom at one point in the Premiers at Doncaster. Did he feel like a big name coming in, or was he a bit underwhelming?
It wasn't exactly a big name, but who else are you going to attract when you've got a points deduction and you're sat rock bottom of the Championship? It's the fact, I mean, obviously, whenever a manager gets sacked, when you're looking at all the managers that are available, it's all those that are out of work, and it's all the same names that keep getting regurgitated. But you've got Darren Moore was in work. He wasn't really a target, mainly because we never really get anyone that's in a job. So it kind of came as a bit of a surprise. He was linked, but he kind of quashed those rumours early on. But yeah, I think when he came in, he's obviously Mr. Nice Guy. He says the right things. He seems to, want to do the right things on the pitch and off the pitch, which is nice to see. But the football they were playing at the start of the season was you know, I can only say boring, to be fair. We're playing a 4-2-3-1. We weren't creating enough chances. It was almost like we were just trying to not concede as opposed to go up the other end and you know, score more goals than the opposition. Injuries haven't helped, and I think he's not really had a fair crack of the whip this season. You know, the amount of signings that we've made, when you've got all the injuries that we've had, he's not been able to pick his best side. So I think it has been difficult, and the fact that we've had to, you know, sign freeze and loans has also made it hard as well. I think I've always stuck behind him. I think he's probably the man to take us forward, mainly because I don't know who else would if he got the sack. But yeah, a certain section of the fans wanted him gone. But although in recent weeks the form's picked up, you know, we had 4 wins on the bounce, which we've not done in a long time, and you know, those more outers have been silenced somewhat.
I mean, I'm looking ahead to Saturday. Then obviously you do have a good home record, only 2 defeats at Hillsborough this season. Who are the key men that the Charlton fans should be wary of, especially considering, like you say, you've got those injury problems?
Yeah, I mean, well, I've got to say Barry Bannon, really. I can't not say Barry Bannon. Everyone knows about him, so I'll not stick on him too much. He obviously, you know, creative player. You know, you look at the amount of key passes that he makes. He's well up there. Chipped in with a goal at the weekend, although he did miss a penalty, but he did make amends for that later on. Another one, Massimo Luongo, is a player we've missed for a large part of the season, but there's no doubting that he's one of our best players, and it's no surprise that when he's come back into the side, we have gone on a decent run. He allows Barry Bannon to play in a more advanced role, which suits him a lot more. Barry Bannon, when he plays poor, it's because he's dropping deep and picking the ball off the back four. But those two work quite well. Like yourselves, we're missing, you know, key strikers in Gregory and Windass. I would have mentioned those. Mendes Lang, he's also injured. He's someone that's been playing well. Probably one that's surprised us somewhat after the start that he made is Marvin Johnson, that we signed from Middlesbrough. He, at the start of the season, he was probably the worst player that's ever put on a blue and white shirt for us. But since then, you know, he's had spells at left centre half, which raised eyebrows, and now he's playing in that left wing back role. And you know, the amount of times that he gets forward, he chipped in with 2 assists, although only one official one, because the other one kind of rebounded off the goalkeeper, so it don't go down as his assist. But you know, he's the amount of goal contributions that he's making is great, and he's certainly one that, like I said at the start of the season, I wouldn't have thought that I was sat here now telling you that Marvin Johnson is one to watch.
Thanks very much to James for coming on and chatting with us. You know, I learned a lot about Wednesday there. Obviously, they've had an injury crisis of their own by the sounds of it, Nath, but you know, other than the fact that we should still be in the Championship at their expense because of when of their points deduction was applied, you know, it's always an interesting game against Sheffield Wednesday. It's a great place to go and watch football, and they would have come into this season with high expectations, which I'd say aren't quite being fulfilled because they're outside the playoffs, but they're not far off them, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be another tough one, like they all seem to be at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. It's always tricky going up there. Previously, when we've gone up there, we've been in sort of good form. I mean, the last time we went there, I think we conceded a last-minute winner against that big old lump, Nuhu, or whatever his face is. But yeah, it's good. Yeah, they probably would have been expected to be there or thereabouts. So they've got some good players in there. As much as he's a bit irritating, Barry Bannon is a good player at this level to play, be in the middle of the park. He can dictate the play. Yeah, they've got some good sort of young players. They've got some experienced pros in there. And I think their problem is at the earliest season, I think they've drawn quite a few games. I don't know how many they've drawn, but I know they've drawn quite a few. And they just weren't scoring enough. But, you know, they've got Lee Gregory and Canberry, who are going to be threats. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. And, yeah, I was due to go, but I can't now. But, yeah, it's going to be a hard game. But anything can happen in football. You know, I always say that sometimes with us, we always do better against the good teams and not so much against the lesser teams.
That was our theory coming into this run against the top 6 teams, wasn't it? But that's been blown out of the water, isn't it?
We've got to keep trying, mate.
Yeah, well, we ain't won up at Hillsborough since that Marvin Sordell hat-trick in 2014, back in the glory days. But let's hear Johnny Jackson look ahead to the game as well. Obviously, after this run we are on, where we've lost our last four. Jackson was asked if, you know, as well as team selection and tactics and whatnot, if there's also a little bit of character that needs to be shown from the side now as well.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs to show a bit of grit and toughness now, a bit of character to get through it. I don't, for a second, think that the effort and the endeavour's not been there. I think everyone's trying as hard as they possibly can. We're just, you know, we realise we are short in a few areas, and that's being the difference. But the lads are giving me everything. They'll continue to give me everything, no doubt, and they need to do that. You know, if you go into Hillsborough, that's the very least that you need. And then obviously, you know, we need to see what's available to us and try and come up with a way of playing and trying to get a positive result with what's available.
Crowd on Tuesday night, a little bit lower than normal, which is probably to be expected. But we've got upwards of 1,000, you know, towards 1,000 people heading up towards Hillsborough, fans heading up towards Hillsborough on Saturday. You're going to need them as well as the players.
Yeah, of course. The support's been tremendous. Always travel in our numbers, don't we? And you know, we've had some decent games up at Hillsborough, so I'm sure people are looking forward to that. It's a great place to play football. I love playing there. Looking forward to managing there. And you know, I'm sure if you can't get up for that one, you won't be able to get up for anything, because it's obviously a massive club, massive stadium, historical place in English football. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's Jacko. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned at the end, Tom, we are taking an incredible amount of supporters up there. I mean, we always take a lot up to Hillsborough because it is a great stadium to go to, and it's a good chance to get out on the beers in Sheffield after. It's a good place to go. But, you know, it is good to see the fans, you know, sticking behind the team, and hopefully they'll be able to enjoy, you know, take something out of the trip up there, because we all need a lift, every single one of us, you know, involved with supporting the Addicts.
Totally, yeah. It's an unbelievable effort. And I know I spoke earlier about kind of the infighting between fans and Twitter not being a comfortable place to be at the moment and all of that. But the one thing you can't knock is the fans inside the stadium or you know, while the team are playing. The support is pretty much universal, even on Tuesday night. You know, okay, it was quiet and the numbers were down, but at no point during the game did I see the fans get on the team's back. I've managed to do as many away games this season as I would like, but the ones I have been to, even when we've been pretty poor or lost the game again, fans have been really, really good. And you know, last few seasons, really, probably going back 7 or 8 years now, maybe even longer, the away following has always been solid from us. But at this stage of this season, given where we are and the run we're on, to be taking that many up, I know, as you said, you've got the caveats of Sheffield being a good city and Hillsborough being an iconic ground and all of that. But, you know, I could easily see why people would give this one a miss. So to be taking that many up is great. You know, it does make a difference. I know the run we're on doesn't maybe sound like that, but it genuinely does. And, yeah, you just got to hope that the players can give them something to shout about up there and to enjoy that post-match beer, because with all the travelling that some of them will have done over the past few weeks up to the northwest and in the storms and spending a lot of money, they deserve an away win. So I just hope the team can give them that, really.
Yeah, I dread to think what the trains have got in store for us on Saturday. I mean, first class on the way home. It's one of those weird quirks where when I went to book my train ticket, it was cheaper to go in first class for some reason on the way back. So I'll be living La Vida Loca on the way back. So that should be good. Nathan, I mean, in terms of team selection, we've spoken about the lack of strikers. Now at the back, obviously we're out Sean Clare, and Chris Gunter came back into the team on Tuesday. Were you surprised by that? He'd not been involved in a league game since the draw at Morecambe back in, I think, October, November time. I guess the argument is that out of Pearce and Lavelle, the two that could play the right centre back, I guess that maybe Jacko's decided that there's not quite enough manoeuvrability there, and Gunter maybe is slightly more manoeuvrable, but I don't know if that's the way I'd see it. But again, it's all disguised as a lack of option in terms of the right type of centre half to play in that position, perhaps.
Yeah, it could be. I just think also it gives you the flexibility which we had with Sean if we ever needed to go to a four in a game, back four in a game, or
because we did go into a four late on against Milton Keynes. Actually, I did notice when DJ came on and went up, we actually went into the diamond with a four, but.
Yeah, I mean that's what the flexibility gives with your Gunter there, and obviously Sean can play there. But no, if he doesn't, he keeps the free out of position. You know, when you lose the ball or
if, you know, if our wing back goes really high, then you can go to a four, and then if they do break with a ball, then you're still in quite a good shape. So I can understand that. Whereas if you had Akin, Jason and Sam, even though I think Sam could do fine coming out with a ball at times, he's not a natural right back. So I could probably see that. I probably wouldn't surprise me if I see the same back three. Although they've got Sal, so he's got some pace, so I don't know if we're going to need Akin in there. I mean, with a back line, back three of Gunter, Pearce and Lavelle doesn't scream with pace, does it? So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he more or less keeps it the same team. But again, there's not much really you can change. The only bit I think you can change is maybe Fraser. But, you know, does anyone deserve to be dropped? I think Gilby hasn't really done much. You know, Elliot looked a bit bright in patches when he come on. So, and then up front is up front. So we haven't really got much choice there either. So I can't see many changes happening. Be interesting if Niall John gets a go because he gives us a bit more energy. But again, it's going to be quite probably a lot of the game where we're not going to have a lot of the ball. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he plays. But it makes sense for me. You know, Chris Gunter's not going to be the first name on my team sheet by any stretch. But, you know, with the situation the way that it is, it wouldn't surprise me if he keeps it more or less the same.
There we go. Right, well, we've come to the end of this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of those who've listened and sent your messages in as well. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at that game against Sheffield Wednesday, whatever happens up at Hillsborough. We have all the reaction on Charlton Live on Sunday. Thanks for listening. Thank you to Tom and Nathan for joining me.
Cheers, boys. Cheers, mate.
Good to speak to the pair of you. Enjoy your salmon en crue for dinner. And Nathan, I'm Louis Mendez. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.